I'm ready. Okay, we are ready. If Mark could just behave himself, we could get started. Okay, good. That's not the sheet from today.
Are you talking to me?
What I wanted to talk about tonight is the topic of Elav Elo Divrei Elokim Chayim. It's very interesting. On the one hand, we are a very formal religion. We all agree that we follow the Torah, we follow the Gemara, right? We have Torah Shbeksav, the Torah Shbalpeh. However, there tends to be that over the years, the different practices, there's really a wide variety, right? We can think about between the Ashkenazim and the Sfaradim and the Teimanim, etc. And, you know, if you walk into one shul and you hear a laning, it sounds nothing like another shul. One shul is saying who, the other one is saying he, and the other one is, I don't know what they're saying. So they're, right? It's a wild religion we have there.
Yeah. Many years ago.
Who is he?
He and he is she.
The Hasidim started.
It was always like this.
Right. You know, always been very progressive. So when some people put on tefillin on Chol Moed, some people don't put on tefillin on Chol Moed, some people wash before Kiddush, some people wash after Kiddush, right? And we always say, Eilu ve'eilu divrei Elokim Chayim. It's all good. It means that these are all the word of God. Meaning that if you do it this way, it's good. If you do it that way, it's good. And in general, we take this approach that, you know, that there is a wide variety of possibilities. Now, of course, we don't say Eilu ve'eilu divrei Elokim Chayim on everything, right? If I turn around and say, well, I'm Jewish, but I eat pork, right? No, that's not an option. That doesn't really fool it. All of a sudden, if I turn around and I say, not only is something, you know, allowed, but it's not, abortion has become a Jewish value, right? No, that's not a possibility. You can't do that. Right? So the question is, what does all of this mean? What does it mean, Eilu ve'eilu divrei Elokim Chayim? The bottom line is God gave us just one Torah, right? Just one Hashem in heaven. Now, he commanded us with 10, but not 11. So God gave us these specific halachas. And the question becomes, how all of a sudden did we get these different ideas? How can we say that you're right and you're right? The old story about the rabbi, that two parties are fighting. The first party shows up and says, you know, this person owes me money because of X, Y, and Z. And the rabbi said, you're right. And then the second person says, no, I don't, because of A, B, C. And the rabbi says, you're right. Then the Rebbetzin comes over and says, I don't understand. They can't both be right. And the rabbi says, you're right also. Right? Right, Sam? So the question is, what does this mean, Eilu ve'eilu divrei Elokim Chayim? We start with a series of Gemaras, actually, that discuss this idea. The first one is a very fascinating Gemara. The Gemara tells us that God, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, kivayachol, spends his time learning Torah. So it says, V'tizna alav pilakshol. In Shoftim, there, towards the end of the book, there is the story of Pilegesh Begiva. The story is that there was a man who had a concubine, and that concubine was somehow unfaithful to him, and therefore he left her, and it's a long story. So the question is, what does that mean, V'tizna? He says that he found a fly in the soup, right? Rav Yochanan Amar Nima Latzala. So Rav Yochanan had a different idea, that he found a knot in her hair. It bothered him. So Rav Yasser said to Eliyahu, Amalei, Maika Avin HaKadosh Baruch Hu. He says, tell me, what's HaKadosh Baruch Hu up to these days? Interesting questions. Amalei, Asik B'Pilegesh B'Giva. He happens to be learning Navi. So that's a support to the people who say that Karsh Baruch Hu is female. Right? So he says, Umay Kamar. And what's he saying? Amalei, Ev Yasa B'Nikachu Omer, Yonasa B'Nikachu Omer. He said that there's a machokes. Ev Yasa holds one way, and Rav Yochanan holds the other way. Right. So he says, how does HaKadosh Baruch Hu not know what the right answer is? He is God at the end of the day. Amurei eiru ve'eiru divrei elkim chayim heim. The truth is they're both right. Zvuv matzav lo hikbin, nima matzav hikbin. The man first found the fly in the soup, and that didn't bother him. Then he found the knot in the hair, and that did bother him. So we have a concept here that eiru ve'eiru divrei elkim chayim, they're both right. Now this happens to be a case where they could both be right, because the Gemara tells us it's both of them. Next Gemara that we also might be familiar with, Amar Rav Abba, Amar Shmuel, Gemara in Irvin, Shalosh Shana Nechug Beis Shammai Beis Hillel. For 3 years, Beis Hillel and Beis Shammai were arguing. They both say we're right. Yotzas Baskal Vomer Eilu Ve'Eilu Divrei Elokim Chayim Heim Ve'Alachah Kibeis Hillel. You're both right, but we follow Beis Hillel. So again, that is the second time in the Gemara that we have this saying of Eilu Ve'Eilu Divrei Elokim Chayim. One more, right? This is the middle of a longer Gemara. It says Bala, this is an Agadita, beginning of Chagiga. Bali Asifa Sufos, this is quoting a pasuk in Koheles. Eru Tamide Chachamim Sheyoshim Asufos Asufos Va'Och Subetorah. This is talking about the Tamide Chachamim that are out there that sit together, they gather together, and they learn Torah. Halolu Metamim Va'Halolu Metarim. Some say this is Tamei. Some people say this is Tahar. Some people say that you're not allowed to do this, and other people say you are allowed to do this. Sounds like rabbis. These say it's no good, these say it is good. So Shema Yomar Adam, hey chani lo me Torah me'ata, how can I ever learn Torah? Whatever one person is going to tell me, the other person is going to tell me is wrong. I'm never going to get anywhere. Tamaroma kulam nastu me'rea echad. He said, this is all came from the same place. Kel echad nosnam, parnes echad amran, vipi adon kol maisim baruchu. It all comes from one God. It was all delivered to us by Moshe Rabbeinu. As it says, Sivai dabra elokim is called the rim ha'ela. Af ata ose aznachar ka'apar chasas, k'nerach ha'lev meivin lishmo adivri ha'tameimu v'divri ha'metarim, as divri ha'osu v'divri ha'tirim, as divri ha'posu v'divri ha'mashirim. With that, a person should go and listen to all of it. You should listen to the people who say it's right, and you should listen to the people who say it's wrong. The people who say it's kosher, and the people who say it's not kosher. You should listen to all opinions. All opinions have value. That is what we are saying here. So again, it's the same idea that even though there is disagreement, just because we do not follow an opinion does not mean that that rejected opinion does not have value. There is a discussion in the Achronim, a very important discussion as to what does this mean. We start with the Nesivos HaMishpat. The Nesivos HaMishpat is a commentary on Choshen Mishpat. The Nesivos HaMishpat regularly argues with the Ktzos. That's what he's best known for. And the... What? Yeah, I know what it is. If you can mute it. Thank you. So the Nesivos HaMishpat wrote a very well-known, very scholarly work on Choshen Mishpat. And in his introduction, he says as follows. This is number 4 on the sheet. Va'afkam zos. Even though the rejected opinions are not true, that does not mean they are not valuable. Right? There is a question that is asked. It's a Mishnah in Adias, and it says, why does the Gemara, or the Mishnah, bother telling us the rejected opinions? Wouldn't, right? Instead, right, the Gemara says there's a machlokas between Abaye and Rava. We go on for pages and pages and pages trying to figure out who's right. And at the end of the day, we say, most times halacha is like rabba. So why don't you just tell me that's the halacha? Why did we have to go through all this beforehand? So what is the value of the rejected opinion?
So tell me again, who's writing this? Who is this?
This is the Nesivos HaMishpat. Rabbi Yaakov of Lisa.
And what time frame are we talking?
Rabbi Yaakov of Lisa, I believe, lived in the 1700s, I'm going to go with.
Where?
In Lisa.
Denver,
what? Right. The city of Lisa.
Where's Lisa's Spanish?
It's around 15 minutes by car from Winnemucca.
Okay.
So,
okay.
What? Nevada. So he said, "Ubir amu chazal, hava nechshala hazos tachas yidecha. In odem omedes al divrei Torah, im kein nechshal bo." In order to understand something, you first have to make mistakes. Mistakes are all part of the learning curve. A person goes out into water and there's waves. And because there are waves, you can't see what's on the bottom of the water. It's not clear. So I want to go and I want to get pearls from the bottom of the ocean, but I can't really do it because I can't see clearly. So I reach down, and sometimes I'm going to pull up a pearl, but sometimes I'm going to pull up a rock. So is there value to pulling up the rocks? But takas hasapir mare cheres biyado ulam acher also or enav ost ito lesamin es ala atzmo heitav hefesh b'mineim. But as I pull up one, I begin to better appreciate which is which. The more wrong things I pull up, and I get the feel of them, and I get an understanding, the better I will be able to appreciate and pull out what is correct. When I reach in again, just without seeing, by feel, I'll be able to tell what is valuable and what is not valuable, right? So was there value when I pulled out the rocks? Absolutely there was value in the rocks, because every time I pulled out a rock, it educated me in what is right and what is wrong. So he said that there is value to it because now that, in fact, that is worthwhile. What is the argument he's making here? The argument he's making is as follows. I need to look at this is correct and this is incorrect. By looking at what is correct and incorrect, I could better appreciate the difference. And every time I learn something that is rejected, I have a better appreciation for that which is true. And therefore, Elu ve'elu divrei Elokim Chayim means what? That by learning the rejected opinion, I've in fact increased my Torah knowledge because I have a better understanding of what is the correct approach.
What if this is correct and also this is correct?
So again, this is not what he's saying here. He's saying that Elu ve'elu divrei Elokim Chayim means they are both Torah. Not saying that they're both correct, but just like I get reward for learning that which is the opinion that we accept, that let's call the Beis Hillel opinion, I also get reward for learning the Beis Shammai opinion. Because my focus on the Beis Shammai opinion also pushes ahead my Torah knowledge. Rav Moshe Feinstein follows this opinion. And he, in fact, puts it in a very interesting way. He's, let's say I get up in the morning, and I decide that up until davening, I'm only going to learn Beis Shammai. I'm going to learn only opinions that ultimately get rejected. Do I have to make a Birchas HaTorah on that? Birchas HaTorah is a blessing that I make prior to learning the Torah. And we make it every morning. So again, I am not going to learn anything that in fact is going to be correct. These will all be rejected opinions. That's where Moshe Feinstein is. He said, "Ike od inyan gadol she'ab b'tchila hasheni hashnei dol." So finally, od yoser him divrei Torah mamish. He said the fact that these are rejected does not take away from the fact that they are part of the Torah. Gehad the Isa be'eravin daf yud gimel alamachokes be'shamay be'sil yotze baskel v'amra elu ve'elu divrei elokim chayim hein v'halacha ke'be'silam. Right, what you're saying, be'shamay, has value. When people study it, it will be considered learning Torah. However, this is not the ultimate truth. The ultimate truth follows the opinion of Beis Hillel. There are not multiple truths. However, even the opinions which are not ultimately proven to be correct still have value and they're still considered learning Torah. Hare, afsha alocha ke Beis Hillel mikom akom im das Beis Shammai him divrei Elokim Chayim. It's still part of the Torah. Mitamze poshet al misha kam baboker v'yodeya shel bizman sharat tefila yomod rak divrei Beis Shammai. Someone gets up in the morning, they know that from here until davening, I'm only learning Beis Shammai. Levari devreim, sorach levorach birchas haTorah, b'shem shem gam kein devrei Torah mamish. V'toras emes, v'cheinu b'chol machokes shebimas nisan, b'braisos, b'shnei haTalmudim, bavri v'yerushalmi, af devrei ha-gaonim, af b'gedolim shebizmaneinu, shach zeh b'cheshib, shebechazok edurom demushma. And therefore, if I study anything, right, whether it is a rejected opinion in the Gemara, or if it is a rejected opinion in the Rishonim, or if it is a rejected opinion of a modern-day scholar, if what they're trying to do is explain the Torah, that has on it the value of being part of the Torah. So according to this approach of the Nesivos, which is followed by Rav Moshe, Eilu ve'eilu divrei Elokim Chayim doesn't mean that everybody's right. Right, but we're saying that even if it's not right, it still has value and it still is Torah. Meaning that, yes. So that's a problem. We're going to find that none of the opinions fit well with all of them. This one doesn't work at all with the first Gemara. Right, ultimately that Gemara ends up being, though, a different case because they were, in fact, both right. Right? They were both right. There was a fly, there was a knot. So meaning that it's when God was saying, you know, Rav Yasser says this way, Rav Yochanan says that way, he was kind of saying they were both half right. Right? That's because the Gemara says ultimately it was all true. That's what you have to say.
Many times in the Torah we have the concept of teiku, which is basically a Mashiach's gonna come and decide where the oaths are.
Yeah.
He's gonna decide it. So we don't 100% have a decision there, and I would assume in those type of cases would also would be Eilu ve'eilu divrei Elokim Chayim.
So just because we don't know, it doesn't mean that they're both right, right?
No, there's a difference between Taurus Emes and Eilu ve'eilu divrei Elokim Chayim. In both of those cases, just we don't know. It's similar to over here. It's still a value.
See, it's very interesting. This is a discussion I've had many times. So. Giving shir in yeshiva, everyone has their own style, right? There are people, you know, who cover a lot of ground. There are people that cover a little ground. Like Rabbi Rosenzweig, he'll be doing his hakdama, his introduction to the Masechta, you know, for the first 2-3 months, right? As opposed to by then, Rav Shach is probably done and gone home already. He did the whole thing, right? So what the way I like to do it is in the perfect world, what I try to do is we read the Gemara. We see the Machlokas Rishonim, right, and understand the different possibilities. But I like to end with Halacha, because in my opinion, Halacha is the ultimate decisor of what did the Gemara mean, right? Right, the Rambam reads the Gemara this way, and the Torah reads the Gemara that way. That's very nice, but only one of them is right. When the Gemara wrote it, it seems that they only meant one way. So obviously it's important to learn the other opinions, and there are times when you might rely on the other opinions. But the ultimate halacha is the ultimate decisor of what is the correct way of doing things. This would be following this.
It's a part of the poskim. Mm-hmm. Don't hold for this. The average tshuva of Sephardic posek is like 6 lines, the tshuva of an Ashkenazi posuk is 35 pages, you know, bringing half of the shas down.
Right. So again, that's, I don't know if that's true, because Rav Avadya's tshuvas are very long. And Rav Chaim Kanievsky has never written as long as six lines. Right, so you know, I wouldn't.
Generally speaking, they go on and on and on.
No, Svardim is. I'll digress for a moment. There's a fellow of Chaim Palagi.
Yes.
Okay, Rav Chaim Palagi wrote wonderful, wonderful Svarim. And at one point. What? Yes. And I remember there was a time when I was writing a very important paper, and I needed a smicha l'chaim Rav Chaim Palagi. It's a longer story than we're going to do right now, but it was the tshuva I needed was 40 pages long. You know, it was. I'll tell you afterwards. A great story. This is the first approach. The first approach, elu elu divrei kim chaim, doesn't mean that it is correct. It just means that it is Torah. But there is a right and there is a wrong. There's a value to the wrong, but it's wrong.
Right, so according to that, the teiku questions is
that the teiku just means we don't know which one's right or wrong. One day we will.
Correct, but each of those until that point has a value.
We said even when they reject it, they have a value. Right? I'm not arguing that, right? Meaning that even Beis Shammai is considered divrei Elokim Chaim, is considered Torah.
Right.
Right? So we're not arguing that. The Ritva has a very different approach. Very different. Where he writes as follows in number 6. Eilu ve'eru divrei Elokim Chaim, shel Rabbeinu Tzar Fazal, heich efshechu shneim divrei Elokim Chaim, v'zeh osa v'zeh mater. How could they both be right? One says usher, one says mutter. You can't be right. This is the Rebbetzin. V'tirtzu ki kusha ala moshe l'morim l'kabu l'tora, heru lo al kol dover v'dover, mem tes parim l'iser, mem tes parim l'heter. When the Torah was given, Moshe was given everything, every halacha, he was given 49 ways to say this is allowed, and 49 ways to say that this is prohibited. And Moshe Rabbeinu said to God, what am I supposed to do with this? Ram Sheza Masra Chachme Yisrael Shebechol Dor Vador Yehachra Kamosam V'nochem Lefi Adrash B'derech Emesh Yish Tam V'sod B'davar. He said, there are different ways of saying this. I leave it up to the rabbis to determine what the halacha is. This is what the Ritva says. In fact, if you look at the Medrash Tehillim, it goes even further. Amar Rav Yamei lo nitne divrei Torah chatichin elo kol dover she'er omar kosh baruch Moshe hoyomei mem tes panim tahor mem tes panim tamei. God didn't tell you what's right or wrong. He just said there are 98 ways of seeing every single question. 49 go one way, 49 go the other way. Amo afano ribono shalom, an masai namod abiruro shal davar. So when are we going to figure this? Amore ache rabu mahatos. Follow majority. Whatever the majority opinion is, that's what you follow. Rabu amitamim tamei. If the majority of people think this is impure, it's impure. Rabba matarim tar. But the majority think it is pure, then it is pure. Rav Avoh b'shem Rav Yonasan Amar Talmud Vasek Hayalol Rabbi Akiva Rav Shmeir Shmo. Rabbi Akiva had an old student, his name was Rav Meir. Vayu mataras asheretz min hatorah b'mem tes panim tar b'mem tes panim tamei. He was able to do it all. You gave him a bug, and he could tell you 49 reasons why it's good and 49 reasons why it's not. Rabbi Shimon Levi Amar, Tinoku Shayu B'Yimei Shaul V'David B'Yimei Shmuel, Yon Lidrash Es Tor B'Mem Tes Panim Tor B'Mem Tes Panim Tamei, came first to Mizmer Zion. And in fact, Rabbi Shimon Levi says, at the time of Shaul, David, and Shmuel, kids in school were able to do this. So this points to a very different approach. This says that, no, there are multiple truths. That something could potentially be usher and something could potentially be mutter. This idea sounds quite radical. However, the truth be told, there are cases where we use this. The Gemara in Chagiga talks about the concept of malacha and chol hamoed. There's a machlokas whether malacha and chol hamoed is the Oraisa or the Rabbanan. Is it biblically prohibited or is it rabbinically prohibited? Now, there are those who turn around and say it must be rabbinical. Why? Because we know the rabbis made exceptions, right? If something is tzarech hamoed, if something I need to do for yantiv, I can do it on chamoed. If it's tzarech harabim, if the community needs it, I can do it on yantiv. If it's a dover ha'ovid, I can do it on yantiv. It's something that I'm going to lose the opportunity on. All these things. So therefore, if the rabbis can't undo a biblical commandment, as much as those people like to think if there's a rabbinic will, if there was, right, there would be a halachic way, that's not actually true. Nope, there's a very limited cases of what the rabbis can do. It would be great if it was true. Unfortunately, you know, we can't fix everything for you. So therefore, the fact that the rabbis can fix it indicates that the rabbis must have made it. However, there are other opinions. Rashi, for example, disagrees and says, no, that it is in fact, it is biblical. So how does that work? So what gives the rabbis the right to make these exceptions? So let's look at the Gemara in number 8, the Gemara in Chagiga, and it tells us, everyone says you can't do malachim, where do we need it from? So the Gemara goes through a list of potential psukim. It says, it's Chagamasu Sishra Shivas Yomim, Rimet Al Chomoish, also Basis Malachim, the Rev Yoshia. Right? It says it's supposed to be a chag for all 7 days. That means even the Chomoid is a chag, etc. Finally, the Gemara at the end says, we'll skip to it. It says the Torah tells us you're not allowed to do work on Chol Moed. Define work. So what the Gemara is telling us is, in fact, the Torah said you can't do work, but it allowed the rabbis to define work. Meaning that it is a biblical prohibition that was defined by the rabbis.
Not 39.
Nope, it's definitely not. I mean, whatever, for sure. Even on Yantav, you don't have the 39. Okay. You can cook.
Right, so. I mean, I thought that was the definition of work, but.
Right, so again, there's one definition for Shabbos. There's another definition for Yantav.
Right.
And there's another definition for Chol Moed.
Okay.
And unlike the one on Shabbos, which is biblical, and the one on Yantav, which is biblical, the one for Chol Moed, right, this is really fine, that there were certain cases, what they would call a lacuna, right, where they left open the possibilities for us to fill it in. So what we're doing here actually is we're just very much expanding on this. Right, we're saying that it's not like, so there are a handful of cases where the Gemara perhaps says this. Chol Moed is probably the most famous, right? Another case is chukas akum. You cannot do things in the ways that the non-Jews do it. So, what do you mean? I've seen non-Jews in my lifetime. Oftentimes they breathe. So maybe that would not be allowed. Right? So what do you mean you shouldn't follow in the ways of the non-Jews? They eat. They drink. What about it? So there is an argument out there that, no, again, it was the definition was left open to do that. Let's say if there's something that non-Jews do that a Jew shouldn't do, like, own a dog, right?
Oh.
Right? Right? So that's the thing. So that would be the fill. So what we're saying here, if you look at the Ritva and the Medrash, it's saying that actually the entirety of the Torah was that way. There were possibilities that it could be Aser, there's possibilities it could be Mutter, and whatever side you fall out on, that was God's intention. And unlike the approach of the Nesivos, which says that there is only one truth, but even the rejected opinions are considered Torah, this is a very different approach, saying that there are multiple truths out there. And therefore, right, that's... So... If you look at the Yamshel Shlomo, the Maharshal, it says, Amukubam Kosev Tamudavar, gives a very Kabbalistic approach to this. It says as follows, Fisha Kol HaNeshamos Hayu Bahar Sinai, all of the souls were at Sinai. V'kiblu derech mem test sinaros. And there were 49 pipes that were bringing down the Torah. Shem zayim pam zayim mezukok shivasayim. So there were 7 by 7. V'heim ha'kolos asher shomu v'gam ro'u. And these were the voices that they not only heard but they saw. And everybody saw the Torah in their own way.
What's the 7 by 7? I got the 49.
That's 7 by 7.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
So
there you have it. That's today's Torah Modern Math moment. Right. So this is kol echad ro derech tzinor shelo lefi hasagah. So v'kibo kefi koach nishmas al yono v'rov iruyo al pochosos zo rachog mizeh rachog mizeh. Ashe echad yagir etar v'echad yagir katza achron v'tamei. V'agimo emso rachog min haksavos hakol emes v'havein zeh. This is a different approach. And it says that, again, according to the approach of the Ritva, everybody had 98 possibilities, 49 of them on one end and 49 of them on the other hand, and you had the ability to pick them. This assumes not that way. This assumes that there are 49 possibilities, and everyone got a slightly different version of the Torah, according to this. And therefore, I would see the Torah this way, you would see the Torah that way, a third person would see it a third way, and it's all true, because what I am presenting is the Torah which I have received. This is my understanding of the Torah, as opposed to you actually saw something different. Yes?
In these cases, when you say 49, are we saying a whole bunch, or are we saying 49?
So this is Kabbalistic, and you know, maybe when I turn 40, I'll understand it. Mm-hmm. So, but... But you know,
it's all Kabbalistic. When the Jews were in Egypt, they were down.
In general,
correct. Marcia is correct. They wanted the 40th level of impurity.
40th or 49th?
49th, correct. And that's why we count 49 days in the Sphira.
Uh-huh.
Right.
Bunch.
Right. Again, I have no way of knowing any of this. So I present it as is. If it was 48 or 63 or 17, it would all mean the same to me.
What do we do with the concept of shivim panos
haTorah? Shivim panim
haTorah.
Yeah. Right. So again, there are. That's probably only referring to Torah Shebiktav. Right. It's not following halacha. Right, so if you look at Rashi and Ksubas, Rashi says as follows: "Is the chi pliki trei aliba dechad, mar amar hachi amar poni, umar amar hachi amar poni, chami nayu meshaker." He said, sometimes you'll have a gemachogus in the Gemara. Shmuel says in the name of Rev Yehuda, A, right, and Rav says in the name of Rev Yehuda, not A. So Rashi writes, one of them is wrong. Right? Either A or not A. It can't be both. One of them is not telling the truth. Avo, ki pligi trei amoroi bedin ibe iser veheter kol echad amar hachi mistaver timer ve'en kan sheker kol echad v'chad svara di dekomer ma yav tamer lehetera ma yav tamer leisura ma medami milsa lemilsa v'hachi ma medami mirei b'inyane achrina. So the Rashi has a different idea. Rashi says in the Torah we can deal with every case because we have general rules, right? The Torah gives us examples. And you've got to sit there, you have to figure out, well, this new technology, right? All of a sudden I turn around and I have a fax machine. And now here I am on Friday afternoon in Denver. I decide to send a fax to Israel. So I go and I press a button here, and it's Friday. And all of a sudden, in middle of Shabbos, there's something that starts writing. Is that allowed or is that not allowed? On the one hand, how can I be Mechalel Shabbos on Friday? On the other hand, I'm writing something on Shabbos in a place where it's Shabbos. What do you mean the benefit of the other? For the benefit of me. I want to tell the guy something.
Yeah, but you're not right.
It's not his benefit. I'm telling him. I'm now evicting you from your apartment. It's not for his benefit. It's for my benefit. Congratulations, you're being evicted.
But because the machine is doing it, is it considered your right?
What?
Just an example. He picks it up on Shabbos.
What? Right, so here I've got to somehow deal with this. Right, this is a question I've got to deal with. So two people can look at this same case and compare it, and each can say, "Ah, I see a similar case in the Gemara." One says, "I think this is the most similar case, and therefore it's allowed." And the other one will say, "No, I think that's the most similar case, and therefore it's not allowed." So that's what Rashi says this means. Is there are different reasonable ways to approach the same question. And they're all within the Torah. Right? Some people can see it similar to A, and some people can see it similar to B. Right? Some people see this as the more compelling argument. Some people see that as the more compelling argument. And therefore, any rabbi who gets up and says, "I think this is allowed because of this," or says, "I think this is not allowed because of this," they are arguably both can be telling the truth. Unlike one says, "I think Rav said this," and another says, "Rav said that." No, you can't both be right. But in a case where I have to go and view this case through the lens of the halacha, you can have multiple truths. Right? You can make an honest decision that this is what matches, and you can make an honest decision that that's what matches. This is really a third approach.
Is this the idea basically that we want to get to one end point, and it's just how we get there?
No, because we end up in a different end point. Right?
No, the end point is Torah Sabbath, or
the right. Meaning that you know,
but
let's say I was a rabbi. So people, let's say, would ask me questions. So I would have to sit down and make a decision. Well, I have to weigh, you know, the various issues, right? Got a very interesting question today, which I'm not going to put on the recording. And, you know, different people could definitely look at it in different ways. You know, some people could turn around and say, you know, well, in fact, you know, this really is a lot like that, and therefore it should be allowed. And the other person can say, you know, actually, no, this is really something that's very similar, and therefore it should not be allowed. So Rashi says, in a case like that, you can have multiple choices. It's not one is right and one is wrong. These are both reasonable approaches. So this idea of Elu ve'elu divrei Elokim Chayim, right now we have three different ways of understanding it. One way of understanding it is, no, not everybody is right. Only one person is right. But that doesn't mean the people that are wrong. It's not Torah. That's approach number one. Approach number two is that God gave us multiple truths to choose from, and even the ones that were rejected were potential truths in the eyes of God. And the third one is that, no, there is certain truths, but there are other things where there is no black and white truth. It's a matter of using what we have before us to determine what is correct, and different people could come up with different decisions. And neither, and both of them would be reasonable. That is Rashi's approach. The Maharal has an interesting piece on that, and that's what we will end with. In the Be'er HaGola, he says as follows. Amri Bali Asufos, he goes back to the Gemara we were discussing before. He says, there's no two people who think exactly alike. Right? Everybody is different. We all Two people don't look alike. No people think alike. Everybody has a different perspective on the world. And that's a good thing.
V'yashat shoyeh chiluk b'neihem k'fi ma'ashem m'chulakim b'sichem.
different people have different ways of thinking. Some people follow cold logic. Some people are emotional in their thinking, right? Some people are just out of the box. Some people are crazy. Different people think different ways. That's just the way it is. There's no way, there's nothing in there, out there in the world that everyone sees the same way. No one will ever run for office here and get 100% of the votes. Maybe Reagan against Mondale, but that's it. Even if something is clearly tummy, you can look at it and see the positive in it. There's nothing that's all bad. Everything that is tummy has some tara in it. And there's nothing that's perfect. Right, they tell the story about the rabbi who has to give a eulogy. And this guy was just a bum. He never gave a dollar to tzedakah. He never showed up in shul. He was nasty, right? So the rabbi is saying, what's he going to say? So he gets up and he says, you know, Moshe died. You know, there's a lot of people who didn't like him. He wasn't particularly a good guy. He said, but I'll tell you this. He had a brother that was much worse than him. Compared to him, he was a pretty good guy. The problem is a few years later, the brother died. So the rabbi got up and he said, you know, he never gave tzedakah, he never went to shul, but I promise you, never once in his life did he think about Torah in the bathroom. So, you know, you can always find something positive to say if you try hard enough. Right? So that's what the Maharal says, that every case out there has at least something of the opposite. Right? The most mutter thing in the world has something that you can find that's usher. And the most oster thing in the world has something out there that's mutter. That's oh, there's always a touch of gray. She'avim adavar tamei yevshel yotzal bechina shel tar shalma vechim davar tar yevshel shoye bechina mashal tuma ne'machulakim besechel v'yevshel shelo kol sechel b'nei adam al derech echad. And people look at things differently. Kachol echav echem mekabo bechina achas kefi cherok shesechem. People are always going to look at something differently. And therefore, we get multiple rabbis together to figure out which opinion is the normative opinion and which is a minority opinion. Right? You sit on a beis and there are three people. Right? It's not always going to be a unanimous decision. We may always announce that it's unanimous, but it isn't. Right? Because that's how we're trying to get to the truth. So if everyone sees it differently, how am I going to learn anything? Everything has a positive and a negative. So everything in the world. So let's say I get up there and I say, very interesting, he says. Let's say I turn around and I say that a tree is made of water. It's true. The tree is very related to water. Without water, it wouldn't be able to survive. Or you could say, no, it's air. Because we know, through air and light, that makes it survive. There's nothing that is just one thing. Right? The world is not simple. There's good and bad in everyone. Ebony and ivory together in perfect harmony. So,
Ma
Ella rotsa lomer kamosha Hashem yisbach onon kol masim enem nimsa ola morkav sheish bro devar mechalfim yesh echad hafech hasheni kein lo davar zeh shkol davar yesh lo bechino meschalfos. Said God, it all came from God, just like God made the world with so many different animals and so many different plants and so many different people with so many different outlooks. And this is the way God wants it. The Torah comes the same way. That there's nothing that is simple out there. And therefore, it is reasonable to say that people can look at it in different ways, and there is truth in what they are saying. So, Eilu ve'eilu divrei Elokim chayim. There's different, once again, like all other things, as we try to explain machlokes, there's a machlokes how we understand machlokes. Right? Right? So one approach is that there's one truth out there, but all we're saying is that there's value to the rejected opinions. Others say that, no, God gave us all these multiple truths out there, right? That we have a whole metaverse of truths. That's another approach to it. And then there's a third approach that says, no, that really there is different aspects when it comes to everything. And a person has the ability, based on their personal nature, on their personal intellect, to look at the two people can look at the same halacha, right, and see very different things. And it's true because there are different angles and different people see different things. And therefore, in my mind, this is correct, and in your mind, that is correct, and the truth of the matter is they are both correct. So therefore, what is Eilu ve'eilu divrei Elokim chayim? Eilu ve'eilu divrei Elokim chayim means that, in fact, there are definitely different ways of seeing the Torah and Halacha. It doesn't mean whatever I want it to be, it is. But if a person honestly learns the Torah, aims to come up with the truth, right, and sees something one way, and other people see it the other way, it doesn't mean that one is right and one is wrong. It could very well be that these, according to many opinions, they are both right.
When you look at the words...